Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. God, our Father, as we now open your word which is able to make one wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, your word that is profitable for teaching and for reproof and for correction and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent and equipped for every good work. We pray, Spirit of God, that you would open our ears to understand, our ears to hear, and our minds to understand, and our hearts to receive your word with a response of repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. This time we invite our children to go to children's worship. And I invite you to take your Bible in hand and turn to the book of Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Our text this morning is found in verses 6 through 10 of Galatians chapter 6. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That is how this book, the written revelation of God, the Bible, begins in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And God has established principles or laws in His creation that are fixed. Certain actions will always bring the same consistent results. And in our study, our scientific study of God's creation, we have recognized this. So consider, for example, the law of gravity. The law of gravity is readily apparent to us in God's creation. We recognize this, and so we know that certain actions will always bring about the same consistent results. So if I bring a very tall ladder into the sanctuary this morning, and if I were to climb to the very top rung of that ladder and then step off into thin air, we all know what's going to happen. I will experience the result, the consequence of my action, and be on the floor, likely in much pain. The law of gravity is that what goes up must come down. It is a fixed law in God's creation. Well, our text this morning contains one of those fixed laws in God's creation. So give your full attention to the reading of God's Word in Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. One who is taught the Word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap from the Spirit eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. This passage gives us one of those fixed laws in God's creation, and that law is found in verse 7, at the end of verse 7. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. You reap what you sow. Now, this also is very easily recognized in God's creation. When I was a child, my family planted a vegetable garden every year. And we had butter beans, green beans, black-eyed peas, okra, corn, watermelons, cantaloupe, the list goes on and on, planted in our garden. And as is often the case, our garden was in nice, neat rows, with each row containing a specific type of plant. That way, when harvest time came, you could walk down this row and you could pick all of the butter beans. And you could walk down this row and you could pick all of the corn. Now, why were we able to pick all of the butter beans on this row and all of the corn on this row? Because that is how we planted it. We sowed butter bean seeds over here, and so we reaped butter beans. We sowed corn seeds over here, and so we reaped corn. Whatever one reaps, whatever one sows, that will he also reap. You reap what you sow. It is a fixed law in God's creation. Now, what is true for gardening is also true spiritually. You will reap what you sow. Now, we also see this at the very beginning of the Bible. You remember that God formed Adam from the dust of the ground, and then he formed Eve from the rib of Adam, and he placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and he said to them, "You can eat from the fruit of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For the day you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die." You will reap what you sow. And of course, we all know what happened. Genesis chapter 3, the serpent came to Eve and he tempted Eve to distrust the one law God had established. And he said to Eve, "You will not surely die. You won't reap what you sow. You'll be like God." And so she took of the fruit and she ate it and she gave it to Adam, her husband, and he ate it too. And sin entered the world and alienation from God and death was the result. What is true for gardening is also true spiritually. You reap what you sow. Now, all of us have sowed the seeds of sin against God that reap eternal death in hell, separation from God. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." And we all deserve to reap the harvest for the sin that we have sown. That is, we all deserve to reap the wrath of God for all eternity. And that indeed is what we would all reap. For you reap what you sow. That is what we would reap had not God, the great Creator who sits above His creation, transcendent to His creation, had not God intervened. And He did intervene. God, in His love and mercy, sent Jesus Christ, His Son, whom, by the way, God promised to send all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. He sent Jesus, His Son, to bear the harvest of wrath that was ours. Jesus Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, the Bible says. And if we would just put our faith in this one and only glorious Savior, Jesus Christ, then we will be saved. We will receive eternal life. It is a gift from God, a free gift of God's grace to be received through faith in Jesus. Now, throughout our study of the book of Galatians, we have seen that the Galatian Christians were being deceived by false teachers who came in and told them, faith in Jesus is not enough. You're going to have to add to that your works of the law in order to be right with God. And so Paul has been warning the Galatian Christians and us again and again and again throughout this letter. He's been warning us against being deceived by this teaching of legalism. We could never earn our salvation. Salvation is by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ Jesus alone. Jesus Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, and it is by faith in Him alone that we are saved. So in this text today, Paul gives another warning against deception, against being deceived. And this warning against deception in this text is against both legalism, that is, thinking that we can somehow earn our way to God by doing good works, and it is also a warning against the deception of license. License, you remember, is thinking this, having this idea. Hey, you know what? I can just profess my faith in Jesus, and then I can just live however I want to live because I'm forgiven anyway. Listen very carefully. That is not saving faith in the grace of God. That is damning presumption upon the grace of God. You see, the Bible says Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, but let me quote the rest of that verse, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Faith in Jesus Christ, saving faith in Jesus Christ, makes a difference in how we act, in what we do. It makes a difference in our life. And you know what? The fixed law in God's creation still holds. You will reap what you sow. Now, just as we saw in chapter 5, in this text we have a contrast. A contrast between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh, you remember, is that nature, that sin nature that all of us, oh listen to me, all of us inherited from Adam when we were conceived and born into this world. The spirit is the new nature that the Christian receives when we come to faith in Christ and the Holy Spirit of God comes to dwell within us. And chapter 5 told us that the desires of that sinful nature, the desires of the flesh, are against the desires of the spirit. So there's this internal conflict, right, that's taking place within the heart of every Christian. But chapter 5 gave us a fantastic promise. You know what that promise was? Verse 16 of chapter 5, it said, "But if you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Isn't that good? You see, instead of our lives being exhibits of the works of the flesh that Paul listed, you know, Paul listed several of them in chapter 5. Sexual immorality, idolatry, jealousy, fits of anger, etc. And remember, the Bible said in chapter 5 that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So instead of our lives being exhibits of these works of the flesh that will not inherit the kingdom of God, our lives are exhibits of the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in us. That Paul describes in that list of 9 virtues in chapter 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what happens when we walk by the Spirit, which means simply relying on the power of the Spirit to follow the Spirit's leading. We see the same contrast in our text today. But Paul changes the imagery in this text as he further instructs us. So on one side of this contrast we see in our text today, we first see that to sow to the flesh is to reap corruption. To sow to the flesh is to reap corruption. Look at verse 8. For the one who sows to his own flesh, that simply means to live life gratifying the desires of the sinful nature. It means a life that exhibits the works of the flesh. It means a life of unrepentant sin. So the one, verse 8 says, the one who sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. Sin brings death. God said it all the way back in Genesis chapter 2. That law has not changed, and that law will not change. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked." That is to say, you cannot turn your nose up at God. And that is precisely what sowing to our own flesh is. It's the foolish idea of thinking that we can do whatever we want to do and we will never be held accountable for our actions. It is turning our nose up at God. The one who sows to his own flesh is the one that the psalmist was speaking of when he said, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." And so you can play the fool, and you can turn your nose up at God as though he does not exist. But do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You will reap what you sow. And if you sow to the flesh, you will from the flesh reap corruption. Our actions, in other words, have consequences. Now, certainly that's the case here and now. If you sow to the flesh, you will from the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to the flesh and view pornography, you will reap the corruption of healthy and loving intimacy with your spouse. You will. If you sow to the flesh with a bitter, angry, self-centered attitude, you will reap the corruption of relationships. You will. But the consequences are not just the present consequences. No, the Bible here, when the Bible says you will from the flesh reap corruption, the Bible is speaking of eternal corruption, eternal destruction. The Bible here says that if you sow to the flesh, you will reap hell. This is what the Bible is telling us. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you sow to the flesh, you will from the flesh reap corruption. There is truth in that old adage, sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. The Lord Jesus Christ, our only Savior from sin and death, said in Luke chapter 13, "I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." The one who unrepentantly sows to the flesh, be it any form of sexual immorality, be it jealousy, be it fits of anger, things like these, the one who unrepentantly sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap eternal corruption in a very real final hell. This is what the Word of God is telling us here. Are you sowing to the flesh? If you think you can get away with it, you are grossly mistaken. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. You will reap what you sow. Oh God in heaven, open our ears to hear this truth. Maybe you've never come to faith in Christ to begin with. And sowing to the flesh is all you're able to do because you're enslaved to it. And you come here week after week and you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached to you and you just give little attention to it. You just ignore its urgency. Maybe you're saying, well, maybe next week. But the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and then comes judgment. And you are not promised the next beat of your heart, nor the next breath in your lungs. How can you delay when you will reap the whirlwind of God's wrath upon the sin that you have sown? Oh, I plead with you, be reconciled to God today. Repent of your sin and trust Christ today and be saved. What about us, Christians? After all, that's who Paul is writing to. Are you sowing to the flesh? Is there some activity in your life that maybe nobody knows about? Maybe people do know about it. And you know it doesn't honor God, but it just feels good. And so you keep doing it. That is sowing to the flesh. Do you have some attitude? Bitter? Attitude? Jealous attitude? You know it does not honor God, but you just say, hey, that's just who I am. You're sowing to the flesh. And the fixed law of God's creation is you will reap what you sow. If you reap to your own flesh, you will from the flesh reap corruption. So the born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ hears this dire warning in the Word of God, and you know what our response is? Repentance. We know that God will not be mocked. God has said, sin reaps death. But I have sent my Son so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And if you put your faith in Him, if you believe in Him, you will be saved. And everyone who abides in Him does not keep on sinning. Because you have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You live by the Spirit. Now walk by my Spirit. That leads us to the other side of the contrast to this sowing and reaping that we see in this text. If you're taking notes, here it is. Here's the other side. To sow to the Spirit is to reap eternal life. To sow to the Spirit is to reap eternal life. It says so in verse 8. The one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. There you go. That's what it says. So what does it mean to sow to the Spirit? Well, it means the same thing as walking by the Spirit. It means the same thing as being led by the Spirit. It means that you sow the seeds that come from the fruit that the Holy Spirit is producing in you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It means that when you feel that impulse to view pornography, it means that you rely upon the Spirit who produces in you love that overcomes that hateful desire. It means that you rely upon the Spirit who produces in you faithfulness to your spouse. It means that you rely upon the Spirit who produces in you self-control. When you feel the impulse to be jealous of someone else or to be bitter towards someone else or to be angry with someone else, when you feel that impulse, you rely upon the Spirit who produces in you kindness that overcomes that hateful desire. You rely upon the Spirit who produces in you peace and gentleness toward all. That's what it means to sow to the Spirit. But sowing to the Spirit does not just mean relying upon the Spirit to resist those sinful things that we should not be doing. Sowing to the Spirit also means relying upon the Spirit to be actively doing those things that are loving. In fact, being a Christian in reliance upon the Spirit is primarily that. That's what it entails. Sowing to the Spirit means that we rely upon the Spirit to produce His fruit in us that results in our actively doing things for the good of others. That's what verse 10 says. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." So as we have opportunity, that means right now. That's what that means. Right now is our opportunity. Okay? So now is our opportunity. Let us do good to everyone. Everyone means everyone. So to do good to everyone means that we give to the needy, we feed the hungry, right? We care for the homeless, we show hospitality to the stranger, we care for the sick, we serve our community, we pray for people. This is what sowing to the Spirit means. And you can be sure that sowing to the Spirit means that when we see an unbeliever who is headed for an eternal hell separated from God, that we rely upon the Spirit to love that person and rely upon the Spirit to give us boldness to tell that person about Jesus, who saved us and who will save them too if they will only believe. And you can be sure that sowing to the Spirit means that when we hear about the millions upon millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of people on this planet who have no access to the gospel, that we will work sacrificially with our time and with our money and with our lives to get the gospel to them. That's what sowing to the Spirit means. It means doing good to everyone as we have opportunity. And our opportunity is right now. But we have a special obligation to other Christians. Look at verse 10. Especially to those who are of the household of faith. We are brothers and sisters in the family of God, and we have a special obligation to take care of one another. We bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We learned that last week in verse 2, right? This means that if you see or a brother or a sister who is in need and you have the means to meet that need, there is no question about it. There's not even any discussion. You meet the need. That's what this means. One commentator put it this way. I certainly can't word it any better than he did. He said, "Every poor and distressed man has a claim on me for pity. And if I can afford it, for active exertion and pecuniary relief. But a poor Christian has a far stronger claim on my feelings, my labors, and my property. He is my brother, equally interested as myself in the blood and love of the Redeemer. I expect to spend an eternity with him in heaven. He is the representative of my unseen Savior. And he, that is my unseen Savior, considers everything done to his poor afflicted as done to himself. For a Christian to be unkind to a Christian is not only wrong, it is monstrous. We are to do good to everyone, and especially to our brothers and sisters in the family of God. Sowing to the Spirit means not only resisting those works that are evil, it means doing those works that are good. In short, sowing to the Spirit means living under the Lordship of Jesus Christ in every area of life. That's why we're going to sing in just a few moments. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Sowing to the Spirit means that we take every thought and word and deed captive to Christ. It means speaking and acting and thinking for the good of others and for the glory of God. That's what sowing to the Spirit is. And there is a reaping to be had for those who sow to the Spirit. That's what verse 8 says. Verse 8 says, the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Now you say, that sounds like I must do good works in order to earn my salvation. No, not at all. You see, if you think that, then you are turning your nose up at God and you're rejecting His free gift of salvation and you're claiming that you can be good enough on your own. And if that's what you believe, then you will from the flesh reap corruption. Now this eternal life is a free gift of God that is received through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. And it is the Holy Spirit who gives this eternal life. And those who have been given this eternal life from the Holy Spirit, we sow to the Spirit, and the fixed law of God's creation is that if we sow to the Spirit, and thus we think and speak and act for the good of others and for the glory of God, if we sow to the Spirit, then we, from the Spirit, will reap eternal life. You reap what you sow. Do you see? Now, as Christians, we have already received this eternal life when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. And so some of this reaping takes place here and now. It does. We reap many things from God as we sow to the Spirit. I mean, we could be here for 5, 6, 7 hours just listing them out. We reap the blessed peace of knowing that we are right with God. We reap the blessed joy of knowing that God is our Father. We reap the blessed hope of our resurrection with glorified bodies and that heaven is our eternal home. But the eternal life that the Bible is speaking of here has in view that final harvest time, when our hopes will be realized and our faith will be made sight. And as we in this life sow to the Spirit, then we know that when that day arrives, when that final harvest time arrives, we will reap an infinite bounty when we hear our Master say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in." Let me put it another way. Salvation is never by works. I hope that is very clear to us after having spent 6 months studying the book of Galatians. Salvation is by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ Jesus alone. Listen. Salvation is never, never, never by works. But salvation always, always, always produces works. This gracious salvation from the hand of God always produces good works in us as we sow to the Spirit who has given us eternal life in Christ Jesus. Or as the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a free gift of God. It is not the result of works." You hear that? "It is not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are God's workmanship. You see that? He's done the work. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Now catch this. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. The order's crucial. Works can never save you. Works can never keep you saved. It is by grace through faith you have been saved. And this saving faith, this faith that saves us, always results in our doing those good works which God has prepared beforehand for us to walk in them. And we do those good works as we sow to the Spirit. And if we sow to the Spirit, we will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Hallelujah. We must persevere in this, though. Look at verse 9. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So obviously this sowing to the Spirit and this doing good is hard work. Otherwise, we wouldn't need this command. Obviously, there is a danger of burnout in this sin-resisting and do-gooding. Otherwise, we wouldn't need this. And it's especially the case for burnout, the danger of burnout, when you live in a culture that thrives on instant gratification. And we do. You see, if we don't see immediate results, there is a danger that we will just give up and put it in neutral. But if you do that, you will sow to the flesh. Because there is no neutral. There is no middle ground. You are either sowing to the flesh or you are sowing to the Spirit. And so the command here is don't give up. Keep up the good work. Keep sowing to the Spirit. Keep relying upon the Spirit. He will not let you down. He will give you the strength to persevere in doing good. And the promise here is very encouraging. In due season, we will reap if we do not give up. The harvest is coming. In God's timing, we will reap. Whether you're talking about reaping in this life, here and now, or whether you're talking about that final reaping on the day of Christ's return, the harvest will come if we do not give up. Why? Because you reap what you sow. God has established it. A good example of this is found in the life of a man named Luke Short. Luke Short came to faith in Christ at the age of 103. He was sitting outside one day and he started thinking about a sermon that he had heard. And the sermon had been preached by a Puritan named John Flavel. And as Luke Short thought upon that sermon, he put his faith in Jesus Christ and he was saved at 103. And he lived 3 more years. Died at the age of 106. And on his tombstone was this inscription: "Here lies a babe in grace, aged 3 years, who died according to nature, aged 106. But here's the amazing part of Luke's short story. The sermon that he remembered, that he was thinking about, was preached by John Flavel 85 years earlier. 85 years had passed since John Flavel preached that sermon. 85 years between the sowing and the reaping. But you reap what you sow. And John Flavel reaped his harvest. In a time of instant gratification, too many Christians and too many churches measure their work based on immediate results. But it often takes time for a spiritual harvest to come. So church family, let us not grow weary. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for we will reap in due season if we do not give up. This is an eternally important teaching to hear, don't you think? Eternally vital that we hear this Word of God preached and taught. Eternally vital. And so in closing, I want us to look at one more verse. It's the first verse that we read. Verse 6. Verse 6 says, "One who is taught the Word must share all good things with the one who teaches." Now the Christian understands that God has ordained the preaching of the Word of God for the building up of the church, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, building up the body of Christ. The Christian indeed understands that God has ordained the preaching of the Word of God for the perseverance and the final salvation of the church. You want biblical evidence? Paul wrote to young Timothy and he said, "Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers." God has ordained that Spirit-powered proclamation of the Word of God results in the perseverance and the final salvation of the church. I have a very deep sense of this reality every week when I'm preparing to stand in this pulpit to preach the Word of God to my precious church family. God has ordained the preaching of this text this day to bring all of us to final salvation so that we might reap eternal life in heaven. Do you hear what I'm saying? The Spirit of God always will work through the preaching of the Word of God for the building up of the church, for the preservation of the church until Jesus returns for His church. And so one way that we sow to the Spirit is in verse 6. Sowing to the Spirit involves bearing one another's burdens, as we saw last week, first few verses of chapter 6. And so one way to do that is to bear the financial burden of those who have the responsibility of preaching and teaching the Word of God to the church of God. This frees the time of those who have that responsibility so that they can devote that time to preparation through prayer and study of the Scripture. I can assure you that if I had to look for other employment to support my family, the preaching ministry of this church would suffer. And so I am thankful that I am a pastor of a church family who understands the importance of this. I am thankful that I am a pastor of a church who understands that the center of pastoral ministry is the exposition of the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I am thankful that I am a pastor of a church who understands that to prepare to preach the Word of God week in and week out takes much time in preparation through prayer and study of the Word of God. So that when we gather in this room on Sunday mornings, we might hear from God as His Word is preached. And we might persevere and we might reap eternal life in heaven one day. Hallelujah! And so a church who obeys this command in verse 6, that you probably thought I was going to skip there for a while, a church who obeys this command in verse 6 shows their understanding of the centrality and the necessity of the Word of God preached. And I praise God that that is the case here in Bethany Baptist Church. And so as we all, myself included, I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to us. As we all bring our tithes and our offerings to the church, we not only share all good things with the pastors of this church, but we share all good things with those people who are being trained in seminaries to minister the Word of God. And we share all good things with those missionaries who are ministering the Word of God among the nations. This is a vital way. Verse 6, listen, don't just pass over that verse. It is a vital way that we sow to the Spirit. It is a vital way that we do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So let us sow generously and sacrificially. Because, brothers and sisters, in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. The Word of God proclaimed will not return void. You reap what you sow. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that you have established this law in your creation. It's a law that damned us and condemned us because of our sin. But Lord God, that you have sent your Son, you intervened so that we who deserve to reap hell might indeed instead reap eternal life through faith in him. But we know this gospel that has transformed us has indeed transformed us so that we now sow to the Spirit, so that we now resist sin in the power of the Spirit and actively do those things that glorify you and that love others. And that as that happens in our lives, that indeed your law that you established in creation, that you reap what you sow, is still taking place in our lives. That we are in fact reaping eternal life as we rely upon your Spirit and walk by your Spirit and thus love one another. So God, I pray now that you will, by your Spirit, take this word, this word that you have spoken to us this morning, and that we, each and every one, might respond with repentance and faith. That we believers might repent of those things that we have left undone or the things that we are doing in our lives, and that we would indeed glorify you. And that if there's even one, oh God, if there's even one right now in this room today who does not know Christ, that person would come to repent and trust Christ today. Do this, God. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing a hymn of response. You respond to the Word of God as the Spirit of God leads you to respond this morning. Let's stand and sing.